Wonderful. Thank you, Doug. We'll get the recording started. So, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to today's social media working group call on Tuesday, the 31st of March at 1300 UTC. On today's call, we have Dev Anand-Tilak-Singh, Peter Knight, Juan Manuel Rojas, Glenn McKnight, Murray McKercher, and Olivier Crépin-Leblanc will be joining us shortly. Apologies noted from Leon Sanchez and Bukola Fawole. From staff, we have Ariel Leung and myself, Gisela Gruber. If I can please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Dev.
Thank you, Gisela. This is Dev Anand speaking, and welcome everyone to the call. So on our social media working group call, we're going to have on our agenda, we're going to be looking at our social media performance since it's formally launched early June 2014. And also afterwards, we'll also look at the Atlas II social media recommendations coming from the Atlas II declaration. And also consider what we're going to do for the next ICANN face-to-face meeting in Buenos Aires. So with that, let's just take it on right now to our second agenda item, which is the analysis of social media performance. Ariel Leung has been the person from ICANN staff in charge of the social media accounts, and she's doing a spectacular job, in my opinion. But Ariel, you have the floor. Perhaps you can give us an analysis of what's our social media performance.
Thank you very much, Dave. This is Ari Leung for the record. I'm just going to share with you a slide I prepared and then show you some metrics that measure our social media performance since June 2014. Can you see the slides on the screen now?
It's coming up, yes, if you could see the slide.
Okay. So just quickly jump to slide number one. This metrics is showing the frequency of our tweets on a daily basis. So since the 1st of June 2014, we have tweeted almost 800 messages out. And you can see it's not every day have the same number of tweets. Usually during the ICANN meetings, we will send out a flood of tweets on a daily basis, and I think on average it's 25 tweets per day for the meeting time. And on other time, it's more or less like 2 to 3 tweets per workday. So you can see this is the frequency. And then also our followers have been growing since June 2014, and so I did a quick calculation. For the past 10 months, we have gained almost 900 followers, so it's about 90 new followers per month. And then during ICANN meetings, we usually gain about 50 followers during the 1 week period. And then during other time, it's a little bit less, but slow but steady. We have been growing our follower base. And then this slide shows actually how our followers have been interacting with our accounts, and retweets is a good way to measure that. And this is a little bit similar to the tweets that we send out. So during the ICANN meetings, we receive a significant amount of retweets from our fans, and you can see the breakdown during each meeting. And then during other time, it's a little bit less. One thing I want to clarify is during ICANN 52, you can see we received even more retweets than ICANN 50, which is Atlas 2. And I think the system I use has incorporated the retweet that we did from other accounts. So that's why the number is so high. And the actual number should be similar to ICANN 51, so around 250 retweets. So this is a slide about our Facebook performance. As you can see, it's similar to our Twitter handle. We have been growing our fans in a slow but steady manner, and we don't get as many fans as Twitter, but on average, it's about 60 more page likes per month. And also recently, Facebook just cleaned out some fans that already closed their own profiles, so you can see a little dip at the very end of March, but nothing to worry about. And then this picture shows the post reach of our Facebook. This means, the reach means actually how many people see our Facebook post. And the way people see it is usually through liking the post or comment on the post and sharing the post. So this trend, you can see that from during Atlas 2, we have most of the reach throughout the whole month, even after Atlas 2, all the way through September, we still have quite a lot of people seeing our content, and now it gradually goes down. But now we still maintain a healthy amount of reach, about maybe 300 people see our posts on a weekly basis or so. So this just gives you a quick understanding how our audience see our content on social media. And here I highlighted a few top posts that we have sent out throughout the past 10 months. And I didn't range them in terms of the number of people see it. Oh, sorry, so I should explain. The orange bar here shows how many people see each post. And you can see before Atlas 2, during Atlas 2, and right after, a lot of our posts got a lot of interactions because people like them or comment on them, and that's why we have a lot of people seeing those posts. And then after ICANN51 in Los Angeles, gradually we don't have that many people interacting with our content. And so during 51, we have one post that almost 800 people saw that. And then in December last year, we have another post. It's about the launch of capacity building webinar series, and now we have more than 1.3 thousand people saw that post, which is very successful. And recently, after ICANN52, we have one post have more than 700 people saw that. But you can see that on Facebook, the trend is it's not that many people interacting with our content as much as before, especially during Atlas 2, so we should take note on that. And then the last slide I want to share with you is about quick understanding of our audience. And I use some tools to analyze our audience breakdown. And surprisingly, maybe not so surprised, but for both Twitter and Facebook, almost 75% of our audience are male, and very few are female. And then also in terms of their geographic locations, on Facebook, most of our fans are located in Europe, North America, and Latin American and the Caribbean. And then for Facebook, our top fans are from the U.S., Argentina, Brazil, Egypt, and South Asia. So here you can see that maybe there's some important thing we need to notice is that we probably should reach out to more female, and also reach out to more Spanish-speaking audiences because our biggest advocates are from those regions. And also the big gap we have is the female audience. So this is just a quick analysis of our past performance, and I want to take a moment, and if you guys have any questions, we can have a quick discussion here.
Marie,
please.
Okay. Hi, it's Marie. For the record, I'm using my computer. I hope everyone can hear me.
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Thank you very much. Just a quick question, Ariel. So I know we were on Twitter and Facebook. There is a presence on LinkedIn for ICANN in general. Have we move towards any other platforms, or is that still to be decided?
Thanks, Marie, for the question. I am aware of our LinkedIn profile, but I haven't got a chance to take a look at it. And indeed, we should probably have a discussion whether we want to expand to another platform. So perhaps we can have a quick consensus here. And I think it's not a very difficult thing to add one more profile because if we manage the LinkedIn page, the way we do it is probably similar to Facebook, and it won't be daily posts. Probably will be weekly posts. And the only way we need to be careful is it's a business platform, so we need to be a little bit more formal and provide more helpful information. And also, the content probably need to be more text-heavy than picture-driven. So maybe that's the way we can handle another platform. Do any other people have opinion about incorporating LinkedIn to our social media profile?
Well, this is Dave. One challenge I would think is that, well, if we say we're going to use LinkedIn once a week, perhaps it's not a strenuous task of maintaining our Twitter and Facebook accounts, which is a more daily routine. I think if Ariel, if you're up to it, to also have that to do it, then perhaps it's worthwhile to experiment and see.
Thanks, Dave. This is Ariel speaking again. And I think related to that point, also I want to have a kind of a candid discussion with all of you about how to get you guys more engaged in contributing content on social media. And since June 2014, I'm the only person that is doing the actual posting. And I definitely appreciate all the content contribution from you guys, and a lot of your posts I retweet from you. I think that's very helpful. But I think maybe we can figure out a better way for engagement, and then you can feel more engaged with those accounts and contribute content directly. And so if we incorporate another LinkedIn profile, from that side, it's not very difficult to do a post per week. But the key thing is content is king, and we need to make sure we are sharing something valuable. And I think if we can get more contribution from members like you guys, will be much more helpful than me, trying to figure out content all the time. And you will feel more connected to the account as well. So I want to open the floor and ask you for a suggestion. What do you think we can do better in terms of contributing content directly from you? So anybody want to...
Okay, well, do note this is Dave, but just to note that there are several comments and questions in the chat. But just to answer that question, let me ask the question. How did Sprout Social work during ICANN 52? Because this was an attempt to, engage the community more in composing the tweets, and so that you would just be doing a cursory look and just letting it through. Did it work as well as intended, or?
Thanks, Dave. To answer your question, for Sprout Social, I did notice a few very good things about the platform and also a few weaknesses about the platform. So for the strength, it's very good for drafting, and you can save your draft on your laptop and phone, and then if I take a picture from my phone, I can simply use the app, and it will already have a draft tweet wait in the draft box for me to add it. So that's very helpful. And also, I can see our social team members' draft in the draft box, and I can utilize the content already generated. So that's very helpful. But then at the same time, the weakness for that tool is I don't get a timely notification when somebody already composed a message. And unless the person composed the message notifying me through Skype or other ways, I won't even see the draft, and I have to constantly refresh the screen for that particular page to see the draft, and it was not very timely in that manner. So that's why I wasn't able to take advantage of a lot of drafts already waited in the box there. So that's my personal experience with the Sprout Social. And I saw Juan and Glenn have their hand raised. So Juan first and Glenn next. Juan, are you still on mute?
No, I was waiting. Give the floor.
Oh, Juan, you can speak now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Seeing what your slides, I think we need more Facebook posts as find yourself in the picture, but working that kind of content differently. Just not only find yourself on the picture, that is a good impact, you have a huge impact in itself, but for another content in all of course in Facebook in this case, but I would like to ask to all how we can produce more content similar for Facebook to engage our audience, I'm sorry the pronunciation, but that's the idea. Because we need, I think that in Facebook we have many few people, and we have growth just in Twitter. But I think that we need to reach or to engage Facebook page a little bit. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Juan. Glenn?
Hi, good morning, everyone. I've mentioned this before. The best examples that I've seen of community engagement is an event that I recently went to with Evan and Laura and Bregford and Steve Allison. And it was over 3,500 professionals in the not-for-profit sector, and a very, very, very large number are social media experts in the not-for-profit sector. And there were so many great sessions at the event talking about how to improve your social media strategy. A couple of things that they did I think was impressive. Every single session had excellent tweets, not just saying, hi, here's a picture of the speaker, or I'm at the session, blah, blah. They actually added value as I guess you would almost call it interpreters or news aggregators, where they were listening to a session and they said, you know, additional information about this demographic, or, you know, they added links, they added value in their tweets. Now, This is slightly different. These are all people who are, they do this as a living. This is what they do. They are responsible for the media on their agencies, whether it's Red Cross or the various USAID. These are not small organizations, and they're not volunteers. So we have a couple of challenges. We have a bunch of volunteers where they're also responsible doing other stuff. But I think I think some of the ideas that they had that were really good. One is they created these group pages. Every single session had a Google Doc page where people actually did notes on, and people could contribute. And I think that was good fodder. Instead of even using something as complicated as as Hootsuite or Slack or anything, but it was really great, a great tool. I'll show you guys some of the sites we did on accessibility and whatnot. But I think we need a strategy to improve the quality of our tweets and really have people who are dedicated to do, you know, if they're attending a session, at least 3 tweets that are of value to the community, then we're going to really increase the number of followers. I think it's the quality of the tweets that are going to make the difference. That's it.
Thank you, Glenn. Just quickly get back to you about your comment. Thanks a lot for the comment. And maybe we can talk offline and you can have a quick review of our past tweets, and then maybe you can give more concrete feedback on what kind of tweets you think are really adding that value and what are not, and then maybe we can start from there first. So thanks very much for the comment. Peter, please.
Peter Knight, for the record. In listening to Ariel with regard to the Sprout, I kind of got the impression that you were saying, Ariel, that actually the Sprout wasn't that good idea, that made better for us just to make our inputs directly so that they'll be timely and maybe more numerous. What do you think that's correct? Did I interpret you correctly? Sort of, you didn't say it directly.
Thank you very much, Peter. This is Ariel again. Yes, I think you're very insightful in your comment, and the main weakness of Sprout is it doesn't have the notification feature like other platforms that I use, such as TweetDeck. So if I'm following somebody on TweetDeck and that person just tweets something, I will see an immediate update on that platform. But don't need to constantly refreshing the page, and now I can retweet or react to that tweet immediately. So maybe we should just give up using Sprout Social. But it still has some merits, and it's a good for one user to use and for me to draft things, and I use that very effectively. But for team collaboration, probably for other platforms is better. And even if you just have your own Twitter handle and you tweet on your own, I can quickly RT from you. And I have been doing that with a lot of our other members' handles so far, like Cheryl's, Leon's, and Olivier's. So I encourage you to do on your own, and I can, in that way, we will be able to interact more. So that's my general feedback. And Glenn, I saw your hands to raise. Is that an old hand or a new hand?
Well, it's an old hand. I'll take it down.
Thank you. Just got a chance to read through the comments, and Juan asked about the geographic, the audience geographic location and their number breakdown. I can share with you guys about the specific numbers offline later on. And also Glenn's comment about the slide, I will upload that to the agenda, and then you can see it on your leisure. And also you quickly asked about the retweets so far, and this is the slide about the retweets, so you can see that here. I'm conscious of time, Dave. Do you think we should go to the next agenda item?
I think this is Dave. Yes, I know we're coming to halfway through the call. Yes, I think we should do that. And if there's any time, we can come back to this. Just a very quick question regarding the Sprout Social. I mean, I know there was another tool that we had highlighted, which is something called Buffer. And I was wondering whether, given the challenges with Sprout Social, where you're simply not seeing you're not getting a timely notification when somebody composes a draft, and that means they either have to refresh the page or somebody else has to then notify you separately, which I think takes up more, it doesn't save you time because you have to keep checking all the time, So my thinking, maybe you should look at Buffer just have a schedule a test, a informal testing, just to see whether it solves this problem. You get better notifications and so forth. Because I think that's probably your biggest concern. I could be wrong, but I think that's your biggest concern with Sprout Social.
Thanks, Dave. This is Eric speaking. Yeah, I think it's probably worthwhile to test out Buffer during a single issue call sometime later, and then we can see whether that platform works better. And also another question, sorry, maybe spend another few minutes on this item. I think it will be really worthwhile if we have more tweets and Facebook posts in other languages, especially for BA. So I think if we have more members directly involving in drafting tweets in Spanish, for example, it will be very helpful for ICANN53. And also going back to the demographic breakdown of our audience, a lot of them are located in Latin America and Caribbean, and especially in Brazil and Argentina. So it will be very helpful if we have multilingual tweets, especially in Spanish. So just a thought. And we can discuss that more for item number four, agenda item number four. So. Anybody else have a comment for this item?
All right.
Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks. I was just also reading the chat there. Okay, this is Dave Anand here. So one of the things that the Social Media Working Group has to do is look at the Atlas II social media recommendations coming out of Atlas II recommendations. So I just wanted to just go quickly to this. Let me just post the link in the chat. Or maybe...
Dave, this is Ariel. I'm going to share my screen.
So Yes, that would be helpful, Ariel. And then you could just show the page so that we don't have to worry about creating a PDF. I see the PDF is up already. But okay. Are you going to share the screen, Ariel, or do you want to just go with this?
Okay, I will share my screen. Give me one moment.
Okay.
Sure.
No problem.
Can you see my screen now?
Yes. Glenn, I think that was a question from you. What was that?
Yeah, I can see it. The link is a lot easier to see. It's almost impossible to read from the center screen. I'm looking through the recommendations. I don't see any action or implementation ideas. Is there another page to this? Am I missing something?
This is Dave. No, this is the page for it. So this is our page where we're supposed to put in. Well, if you notice, if you look through each of the recommendations, you see persons to which recommendations were assigned to, and if the notes would have the the outcomes from what the assignees have come up with regarding the recommendation, and the status is like if it's finished or not. But we haven't really updated this page in quite some time, so I think it's probably good to just go through this and see where we are on each of these recommendations. I can also expand on some of the work that's been done by another working group, which is the Technology Task Force. That's in relation to Recommendation 26. So just go through what Okay, so just going through each of the recommendations. ICANN needs to be sensitive to the fact that social media are blocked in certain countries and promote credible alternatives. This was assigned to Baran, Bukola, and Murray to basically review the social media platforms that are blocked in countries. And I see Murray's on the call. So, Murray, do you have any updates on this recommendation?
Or?
Mm-hmm. Mo, you may be muted. Let's see. All right. Glenn, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, the tools such as Tor is a good example. That's a good workaround in countries that limit. It's a standard tool that's used by journalists in countries which are oppressive.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we could just note these things. I don't know about whether I contribute in the business of promoting these type of alternatives, but I think that what you have to do is just simply, as I say, do an analysis and say these are the various workarounds, these are the alternative platforms in those regions, and then yeah. So I don't know, Glenn, would you just be able to also just join the assignees on for this recommendation and just and just ping Varane and Bukola who aren't on the call to just update.
Yeah, okay. Just put it as an action item. I will follow up with those three to remind them to add content. Where is that going? Sorry, can you clarify for me? I'm having a hard time understanding this table. Where would they put the recommendations, the suggestions? I'm not saying that ICANN has to abide to some of those, but where did you want them to complete the action item?
Well, if they need to have a separate wiki page for the recommendation, we can create a wiki page from this. But if they want to just simply keep it within the table under the notes, I think that would work quite as well. You know, so yeah.
Okay, I'll take care of 17. I'm not doing it. I'm just reminding
you. Yeah, exactly. Okay, all right. So recommendation 21 talks about encouraging public campaigns. Sorry. Oh, go ahead, Ariel.
Thanks, Dave. This is Eric speaking. Just kind of an insider information I want to share with you about the 17. ICANN is experimenting with some other platforms in China, actually. There's a mobile app called WeChat, and the Commerce Department just started a trial account for WeChat and to reach out to audiences that obviously cannot access Facebook or Twitter on the other side of the world. So I will be in touch with the comms department about that platform, and they're expecting Enlarge to produce some content, and then we can post on the official ICANN WeChat account to promote Enlarge. So I will keep you guys posted about progress on that platform.
Thanks, Ariel. That's good to know. And I think that information could definitely be added to this page as part of the reporting for this recommendation. Okay, excellent. Sorry, I see Glenn and your hand is raised, and I see Mario's hand is raised.
I'm sorry, I've been typing an email to those teams. Ignore my hand. Thank you.
Okay, Murray, your hand is raised. Go ahead.
Thank you, Dev. It's Murray McCritcher for the record. So that's great news from Ariel on WeChat. Maybe Ariel can connect with me on WeChat, and we can start. I've been trying to figure out a cross-pollinate social network between Twitter and WeChat. I haven't absolutely figured it out perfectly, but we can talk about that. Also, I just noticed my name beside number 17, so I have not had a chance to speak with the folks at Citizen Lab, even though they're just like 10 blocks away from me. Although they do live in kind of a closed environment, nevertheless, that's on my to-do list, so I'll address that at our next meeting. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Murray. Well, there's also another recommendation, 21. Encourage public campaigns on using the Internet for education, information, creativity, and empowerment. Well, Leon isn't really on this call, so perhaps I could defer. There's been other some information, Marie, you want to add to this?
Hi, it's Murray speaking. No, I have
because
nothing to
add. Because I assume there is Ant.
Okay.
All right, because I see there's an action item. Leon will attend the GSC meeting.
Ah.
Okay, thanks. I mean, I see there's an action item that Leon will attend the GSC meeting, and I'm sure that's probably happened. So it's just really to follow up with Leon. I'll remind him, have a chat with him about that recommendation. Okay, members of the general public should be able to participate in ICANN on an issue-by-issue basis. The information on the ICANN's website should, where practical, be in clear, non-technical language. This was assigned exclusively to social media, actually. I think we haven't really worked too much on this recommendation, and perhaps we probably do need to... I would say there's one tool that we have looked at, but it's not really a social media tool. It's something called Lumio. I think it's more for collaborative decision making, but I'm not really sure it's really a social media tool as such. I can expand on that and probably come up with some screenshots on a future social media call just to show you what that Lumio tool is. My impression is that it's not really a social media tool as such. It's more for collaborative decision making. A proposal is put up and people could comment on it and say yes and no and vote it up and vote it down and so forth. So it does allow people to participate if we present the issue in Lumio to people. So I'll probably show some screenshots and post it to the list and on the wiki page. Okay, 23, I think this is...
Dave.
Go ahead.
Sorry, thanks, Dave. I couldn't raise my hand, so I just interrupt you. This is Ariel again. So for 22, we're talking about show ICANN issues on an issue-by-issue basis and shared information in a kind of a plain, clear language. This is also related to our website content generation process, and I'll also give you a quick update on that. And during my downtime, I've been working on some topic page for the future website and have been drafting content like IDNs, new GTLDs, and even pics. Those information, we're expecting to publish them on our future website, and they will have their featured page called Policy Topic Page. And so that's one way to encourage our audiences, people who may not have prior knowledge in those areas, to engage. During ICANN 52, I worked with the comms department and produced several community member interviews. And for example, Lydia talked about Diana, and then Leon talked about accountability. So those videos are 2-minute short videos that will be published on the website too. And later this week, I will be able to see the draft videos. So I think it's related to this recommendation. And that's some work has been done on community and staff side. So when the time is mature, and probably it's a good idea if I share with in the community of those videos and on the draft page on the wiki, so we can receive more feedback from all of you, and then we can refine the content and then publish them on the future website.
Okay. Well, thanks, Ariel. And I believe, so as you said, I believe this was presented in Singapore, so perhaps you could say that you could probably link to that recording or screenshots or presentations and slides from that presentation in Singapore, talking about the at-large website redesign and the concepts you described, the topic pages and so forth. So,
thanks, Dave. In fact, another insider information is we're expecting a webinar on the website sometime in April.
Ah.
So we will have a community-wide webinar on the website progress. So.
Excellent. Okay. Well, then that, and then obviously I'll link it to that webinar can conclude there as part of the final reporting. Excellent. Okay, I assume, Glenn, your hand is, that's an old hand from Glenn, but just moving along here. Recommendation 23, I think this is perhaps we'll tackle very well by Murray. I don't know if Glenn, you had any further discussions with the Ombudsman while you were in Singapore or anything like that. Any updates?
Yeah, I have an update. As I indicated, just for the benefit of those who didn't hear my or read my notes from before, what we did is Murray and I contacted the Ombudsman and Herb, who is his assistant, who's based in Canada, by the way. And we looked at what they've done in the past as well, and they departed quite away from it on the basis that they didn't think they could actually publish stuff because of confidentiality. But if you look back at the earlier blogs by the previous Ombudsman, they actually could report stuff, but not putting the information on what complaints were. He was meeting with Laura Begford on revamping his site and his strategy, and he left that. And when I saw Laura a couple of weeks ago in Austin, she had no update. So to be honest, we started really well, but to be honest, I don't know if he's created a strategy, but the staff was going to do the work for him. So we need an update from him. So as an action item, I'll pop him an email following up on what he's actually done. Okay?
Okay. Thanks, Glenn. And just thinking about this, I mean, I know the challenge is obviously the Ombudsman can't report on a complaint that's being reviewed or analyzed or being heard, I should say. Perhaps you could look at the NOMCOM as an example. NOMCOM over the past 2 years has done some more reporting where they try to aggregate things. So instead of saying detailing without revealing too much of, confidential information, you see a lot of reporting in terms of aggregate information and so forth. So perhaps, when next you have a conversation with the Ombudsman, you could point them to the NOMCOM's reporting that they do monthly, how many meetings they've had, that type of thing.
Yeah, no, that whole concept of reporting by NOMCOM is really only about a year old. Well, the 2 years I was with NOMCOM, we never did that, and it was one of the recommendations I did for transparency. Again, it's just letting the community know what you're doing, and you're just raising the profile. Because, to be honest, if you've ever gone to their office, nobody's ever there. It's a very valuable tool, but people don't really understand his role, and it's important for him to raise his profile. And I know he comes out to meetings and all, but he's basically like a MAG tag repairman. He's very lonely. So.
Okay. So perhaps show him some of the NOMCOM reporting pages as an example. Okay. Great. All right. So that's recommendations 23 and 24. Recommendation 26. This is the policy management process system. Okay. So this recommendation is probably one of the more, potentially complex recommendations, but I think a necessary one. It talks about ICANN needs to implement a workable policy management process system. I presume Ariel is going to post the link in the chat. Yep, she is. Okay, so go to what what the technology task force did. We just wanted to come up with a sort of checklist as to what do we really want in the policy management process system. And these were six key things. We want to be able to quickly find historical information on a policy issue, to subscribe to policy updates by interest. So this is where a taxonomy of policy categories needs to happen. Track deadlines for responding to policy comments. There are multiple policy periods happening simultaneously. There should be the system needs to update the calendar automatically, and that's that. So, So for all the ACs and SOs to track the ability to read policy issues and updates in their language. The comment period starts when the English version of a policy is posted, and then sometimes translated documents are uploaded at a later time. But you don't get really any timely notifications when that happens. So the person should be able to subscribe to notifications when their policies are available in their language to review. Also having the policy review process more accessible to mobile users. Right now, it's very hard to actually contribute and make contributions and look at policies using a mobile phone. And more and more people are using mobile, so the policy process needs to be more accessible to such mobile users. Also to reduce the manual duplication of disseminating information. The ACs and SOs staff will probably expend a lot of effort to manually copying and pasting text in order to disseminate the policy information, using the wiki pages, the social media, sharing their emails. And the system needs to offer an integrated sharing mechanism so that persons wanting to get the word out can do so more easily. So those are the key things of what we wanted in a policy management process system, and that's what we are right now. I see some observations here that Guan says you can help with the taxonomy. I think that would also be useful. And I think, but I could be wrong, but I think Ariel, is a taxonomy also been done for the at-large website?
Thanks, Dave. I know that Olivia has his hand raised, but just quickly comment on your question. For the at-large website, when I'm generating content for the policy topic page, I aggregate all the ALAC statements and that are relevant to the particular topic. So for that purpose, I'm doing some taxonomy work on my own, but definitely it's not sufficient, and I will really appreciate community members to help out and do this work collaboratively. So Juan probably we can connect offline and see what we can do in terms of a taxonomy. So Olivier and Mireille.
Thanks very much, Ariel. I'll be a co-founder of Jason. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Oh, excellent. So Olivia speaking. I'm very impressed with this set of requirements that I think hits pretty much the spot. I wonder if we were asked to prioritize them, which ones we would be putting first.
Well, that's a challenge. My instinct would be
Is it a package where really, yes, Olivia again, or is it a package where, we could say, look, we can't really prioritize these because they're all component parts of a very important system and they all come together. The only concern I have is if we can't prioritize them, then we're really asking for something, which, by the way, I'm entirely supportive of, but it's going to be darn expensive.
Well, I this is Dave. I could appreciate that, but I mean, I guess I'm thinking it would be hard to prioritize. I mean, I'm not sure which one I would say all of them are priority, but I'm biased because I think it is needed. But I appreciate that, obviously trying to build a requirements document and a system to do it would be challenging. But at the same time, maybe it is worthwhile to do it because you'll be solving all the problems in a systematic way and building it for the future rather than trying to do one ad hoc thing, another ad hoc thing, and so forth. But that's my comment. Marie, you have a comment?
Yes, I do. It's Marie speaking. Just one comment and one question. With respect to number five, the process accessible to mobile users, we had a technology review meeting this week, and there was a discussion about where for Adobe Connect and sort of all the wiki world to implement HTML5, which would make that a lot easier. Because that's sort of the one thing that tends to be moving towards mobile. HTML5 recognizes mobile screens, etc. And the second one was, I was just questioned, is I'd be surprised if there isn't policy management process systems operational in some other institutions. And has anyone looked at those? I don't have any suggestions, but wondered whether there's something that we can look at that might be applicable to us. Thanks.
Sure. Thanks, Murray. This is Dave. The Technology Task Force, I think, is scheduled to try to look at the policy management processes for the RIRs. These are the Internet registries which allocate IP addresses in the five regions. So they have a process where policies are brought for discussion, and there's a policy development process within those RIRs. So we one of the recommendations I think coming was that we should really study that and see if there's something we could learn from that. But I don't think that analysis has really happened as yet. Let's see. Any other questions or comments on this? Recommendation 26? Okay.
Dave, this is Ariel.
Yep. Go ahead, Ariel.
Just very quick question. So this recommendation is for all ICANN-wide policy management process, or it is only for at large to consider first?
This is Dave. Well, I think obviously it's meant for at large, but I think it's for all the EACs and SOs. When you think about it, the GAC, actually, I think it was very important that regarding the two character ASCII labels, complained that they were not getting notifications or they weren't getting it in a timely manner, and they asked for an entirely separate process for getting notifications just on this issue of two character ASCII labels on the second level. I thought that was telling, and I think it goes to show that I think having this available for all the EACs and SOs is critical. So, sorry, Olivier, I see you're hungry. I'm also mindful of time, but
thanks for this, David. Olivier speaking, and I think it would indeed. This would certainly benefit everyone in ICANN. Unfortunately, I have a feeling the other SOs and ACs are not even 10% of the way where we have been, and this is just one page that we have here. There are ICANN-wide discussions at the moment. There's a discussion of SO and AC chairs that has gone nowhere in 6 months or 7 months. There is a discussion in ESSAC where they're looking at just having some kind of way to track the building of their statements that they do, you know, ESSAC advice. But of course, the ESSAC interest is for something that is super secure and where a document cannot be released until it's absolutely entirely cooked and ready. So their work methods are different. And they are probably not as much interested in all of the other stuff that we have here. We have so much more to keep track of. We have a volume to keep track of. Each one of the other SOs and ACs might have a smaller volume of things to keep track of, and they haven't really gone that far down the road to try and think how they could keep track of everything. So what I would suggest is we plow forward with this. We expand on this, of course. We make a full document of requirements. So we actually go to great granularity into how detailed we want each one of these subsections to be. And then we'll propose it both to Ashwin Rangan, I believe, and propose it so to staff on the one hand, and also propose it to the other SO and AC chairs. This really, I'm starting to think, is not something for the board. It's something for ICANN staff as a first step. It's not going to be just a case of, we want this, give it to us. No, it's really going to be a case of back and forth. That's what we suggest, and what can we build out of this, and back and forth. But I agree with you, Dave, that as a package, if we only implement 1, 2, or section 3, it will just not hit the mark. You know, it's not just not going to be helpful enough. We need to have all of these things integrated as one big package, because that's how the synergy will work to get people both being able to track what's going on, being able to be involved at the level at which they want to be involved, and not be overloaded by all the stuff that's coming in their mailbox. And at the same time, for the ALAC leadership to be able to find who is involved in what. And to be able, you know, when there's a topic about something coming up, say, hey, that's the person that already wrote on this 3 years ago, and they should know a heck of a lot about that. Anyway, I think I'm starting to repeat myself. Thanks.
Okay, not a problem, Livie. And I think perhaps when you probably need, once you've documented this better, we can get buy-in. I think the GAC would be, I think, very supportive of this, because as the latest communiques have shown, they are feeling very frustrated. I sense a sense of frustration that the governments feel that the GAC representatives feel that they are not receiving these notifications in a timely manner and so forth. So, Glenn, sorry about that. I know we're also approaching the top of the hour, but go ahead. You may be muted, Glenn.
Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. Very quickly, when the technical task force looked at this issue, this is the biggest topic for us to look at. We approach Ashwan. We actually had a session a few weeks ago with Christopher Gift on this whole process of handling knowledge / information management system. It's a huge task, and I agree with Olivier. We need to work hand in glove with staff to come up with the right solution. That's it.
Yeah. So, okay, indeed. All right. Let's see. I think we covered recommendation 26. Can you just quickly go back? I know we've got the top of the hour. Were there any other recommendations that the social media one was supposed to look at? Okay, recommendations 29. Okay. Election implement an automated system for tracking topics of interest. I do have a recommendation coming out of that, and I'll probably try to document it and show it on a few. The idea would be that to try to summarize it would be that we have the relo chairs and secretariat update a status page or what's happening page on each of their relo pages, and then using the wiki's capabilities of importing those pages, we'll be able to build a status page of what's happening in at large, updated by the community. But that's the general idea of automating it to track topics of interest of what's happening as a first step. We got to recommendation 31. Let's see, investigation tools. Okay, so we got recommendation 31.
Dave?
I have to admit, I have my mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, Dave, sorry, yes? It's Olivier. I put my hand up to comment.
You go ahead, Olivier.
Yeah, thank you very much for this. Olivier Capanoblos speaking. I put my hand
sorry.
Up to comment on this. Because the automated system for tracking topics of interest currently being discussed among the various railroads and accessible by everyone. We have a wiki page that has got at-large reports from working groups, railos, and liaisons. Admittedly, this might be a very long page.
Yep.
If you scroll down, you've got the railo reports, and each one of the railos is supposed to be filing their monthly railo reports. Now, maybe we need to reformat this in a way which makes it more accessible and so on. Maybe we should have it as a table, you know, so AFRALO and then last report date or something. I don't know. But we've got the railo reports that are there, and it's probably more a case of redoing our wiki so as to make this more easily reachable. But looking at the AP Rallo reports, for example, they've got the March 2015 reports, and it gives you exactly what you want. What have they been doing? You know, they're doing an APAC hub pilot framework. They're doing professional expertise survey. They're doing a review process. They've sent some people in a crop. It's just one page. It tells you everything that's been going on, and this is great. Others are not quite doing the same thing. I noticed that the AFRALA one is empty, and the URALA one, I'm scared about even looking at my own region. Yeah, the URALA one is ready until December 2014. You see, so the Railos have to update those things. The page is already there. It probably just needs some reformatting and maybe make it more obvious that the Railo reports are available, and that's the answer, I think, to that, I would suggest. Thank you.
Okay. That's a very excellent point, Olivier. Indeed. Yeah. Go ahead, Glenn.
Can I respond, Olivier? In our case with Norello, we've had we have people in absence, people that are filling in, people that have other obligations, as you know. So it falls between the cracks, I should say. In the case of our IEEE chapter in North America, we have a very clear template that we've created, making it very easy for reporting, and they hound you to do these reports. It's unacceptable that a RALO, especially a chair and secretariat, not doing their reports. I don't know what to say. You can't beat them, but maybe we should make a template that with the clearer things rather than just a script. Right now, they just get a blank sheet. So I think we need to work on this.
Okay. This is Dave. So do you think that this is something that social media working group should try to do? Because I think perhaps we could probably, we could look at trying to do the template. Any disagreement with that? All right, Olivia, hands is raised. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for this. That was an old hand, but I'd say yes, absolutely, to the report. The really excellent idea to have a template for this. And maybe, social media could put together a template of what reports should look like. And perhaps by already looking at the type of reports that are being given by all the regions, it would be you could build on the best reports rather than building on the worst ones. In fact, some regions there are no reports. And, you know, as ALAC chair for 4 years, I've been fighting to try and get those reports in, and I don't know what else to do now short of using a cattle prod. Thank you.
Okay. All right, so that's an action item. I don't see any disagreement here on So let's look at the action item under for recommendation 29, social media working group to look at developing templates for the RALO reports and possibly at large working group reports. But RALO reports is the key one. Okay. All right. Well, in that case, I think we come to the end of all the recommendations. Regarding 2031, just to quickly tie this off. Recommendation 31 talks about investigating use of simple tools to facilitate participation and public comment, and the use of crowdsourcing. The tool Lumio, we also started looking at that in the technology task force. And again, we could probably do a proper better presentation of what Lumio does on a future call. I don't have anything else to add on this recommendation 31. Okay, regarding the template for just looking at the comments, probably need a Google Doc to gather information for the template, or it could be an online form that pushes out content to a spreadsheet by suggestions by Glenn. Indeed, those are good suggestions. All right, any other business? I don't think we have any time to go to agenda item number 4. So you probably may have to have another call and or perhaps collaborate on our Skype channel to discuss how to plan for Buenos Aires meeting. Okay, any Dave, comments, final comments or questions? Go ahead,
Dave.
Ariel.
Thanks, Dave. This is Ariel. Just a quick comment on recommendation 26. I have looked through the recommendations that you put on the wiki page, and I think a lot of those recommendations are applicable to the future at large website. So if there's no way to implement all the recommendations for all SOs and ACs, maybe from at large side and for the website, we can help implement quite a few of the recommendations from Rec 26, and I will make sure to share this with Laura and the web developers and see what we can do to improve our future policy page. I think it's very relevant.
Okay. Thanks, Ariel. Indeed, that's a good suggestion. My concern would be that, you know, I would be concerned about whether there will be a lot of duplication of effort in manually cutting and pasting from ICANN's site. And, of course, that's something that I think an integrated system would seek to alleviate less work for the staff than just copying and pasting and shuffling virtual pieces of post-it notes to everybody around. You know, that's my observation. But indeed, I think sharing that with the at large website team would be useful, and perhaps see what maybe we could come up with some quick wins and for some of those recommendations. Okay. All right. Thank you all very much. I see it is now 10 minutes past the hour. Thanks for your patience and thanks for attending this call. So let's keep in touch online. So this call is now adjourned. Thank you very much. Have a great morning, afternoon, evening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Everyone.